Well, we have been learning about love, God's love, unconditional love for everyone, everywhere, including all of us and whoever it might be. Unconditional love. And wrapped up in that is showing that love. Guess what today is? It's showtime. It's showtime. Yes, it is. So we're going to see today how Jesus showed love, and then we're going to take and look at that example and put it in our lives, and then we're going to show others that same kind of love. Right? Yes. Yes? Yes. Of course we are. We're going to turn to the book of John this morning, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning at the first verse, John 8. Maybe a familiar story, but certainly a demonstration of love. We need that, don't we? Don't we need to see what love is in action so we can copy it and do it and be like that, so we can be more like God, because we want to be godly people, Christ-like people? Excellent. So when you learn this today, going forward, you have no more excuses as to why you cannot love or show it. So you're going to see the example, and you're going to do the example going forward, correct? Yes. Right. Yes. Awesome. Beautiful. John chapter 8, first verse. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he went back again to the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. What was he teaching them about? Always. Always a message of love. Always teaching them, those people gathered there. Not the kind of love that maybe they've learned in the temple, because it was the old law and it was a lot of legalism and it was a lot of rules and regulations, but it was the spirit of the law of God. Because God wants us to love God with our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That sums up all the laws. So there was Jesus teaching the people about love. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman they had caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say, Jesus?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. So he was standing originally, the woman is standing in front of him. He stoops down and begins to write with his finger in the sand. Now I want to teach you a little bit something about the Old Testament and what Moses' law is all about. Whenever somebody was actually accused of something, they were brought to the temple, to the high priest. And in that temple, there would be two witnesses that would come to say what that person had done wrong. And then the priest would write in the dust the commandment that the person had committed or committed sin against, and the person's name, wrote it in the dust. And then they would have a trial, if you would. So you notice what the Pharisees are doing. Did they bring, first of all, both of the people that committed this adultery? They only brought the woman, the one person. So already the Pharisees are breaking the law. Jesus knows that. They're trying to trap him. The law, Moses says, stone her. If Jesus were to stone her, he would be committing murder. Thou shalt not kill. Plus, he would be breaking Roman law, because the Jews at the time were not allowed to convict anybody and murder them or put them or execute them. The Romans could, because that was the government. So the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus two ways. One, with religious law, which they themselves were already breaking. And secondly, they're also trying to trap him for Roman law so they could get Jesus executed instead. Plotting. This is what's happening to those evil people coming against Jesus. Now we notice Jesus takes and knows the law because he's a fulfillment of the law. He sits down and writes down, right, what the woman was accused of and what her name was, evidently. He's showing himself as the high priest. Which, by the way, in the Old Testament, it's also written on Yom Kippur that the sins of the people would be forgiven by the priest. They would sacrifice a lamb. And for one solid year, all those sins for that year were now atoned for. And then they were put on the back burner, so to speak, until the Messiah came. That's what the Old Testament teaches us in the book of Jeremiah. So guess who showed up on the scene? The high priest and the Messiah. Fulfillment of the Old Testament. Just kind of throw that tidbit in there for you. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, stone her. Who's gonna do the stoning now? The Pharisees, right? He's putting it back on them. Is Jesus even gonna dream of stoning this woman? No, why? Because he's the Messiah who's gonna take away all the sins of all the people for all time. He's the Lamb of God, the supreme sacrifice, the sinless one. He knows what his purpose in life is, to bring what? Forgiveness to all humanity, right? He has no intention to ever stone one person ever. Keep that in mind. What does that say about us then? Absolutely, we should be the same. Even though my last name is Stone, I'm not here to stone anybody. All right, stone her. And then he gives this next phrase that we all know. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stone. Volunteer? Do I have a volunteer? Is anybody here that's never committed a sin ever in their entire life? Anybody? Is there anybody in the crowd? Can I see anybody on Facebook? Anybody listening? Is there anybody here who has not sinned? We human beings. So should any one of us ever pick up a stone to throw at someone else? Keep that in mind. Because it's showtime. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stones. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. What do you suppose he was writing this time? Maybe he had a list of all their sins. Maybe he knew all of them by name because he's obviously God, right? Sees everything in private and in the secret that we don't even get to see about other people's lives. Things that we have done we think are secret, God sees, right? He begins again to start writing. Remember, he's the high priest. So he begins with their sins. What's the first sin that all of them have already committed? Judgment. Thou shalt not judge, right? He says, judge not or you will be judged. Forgive others as they... Oh. So he begins to write in the dust, I'm sure. Sin, I mean, he could be there all day and night too, couldn't he? Hypocrisy was one of their sins, I'm sure. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one. I'm going to get out of here. He's writing my name. He knows all my sins. It's going to be a long time. I got to get out of here. No one will see me. I'm quietly leaving. Who's going with me? Everybody, right? Who's going? If we knew that we were going to be condemned by God or others, would we not want to sneak out the back door and not be accountable for our sins? Right? Shouldn't we all be condemned for whatever sin we've committed? Shouldn't we all be punished? Shouldn't we punish others for their sins? Yes? Huh? Oh. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest until, I'm sure that person, like, I'm out of here fast, man. It's gonna, if he starts writing down the oldest person's sins because they got a whole lifetime, right? Right? He's going to run out of dust. There's not enough dust in front of Jesus for that person's one sins, right? And maybe mine too, right? If I were to admit those kind of things over my lifetime, when you think about all of us being flawed human beings that continue to not do things the right way that God would have us do them. Until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Now notice this. Does anybody in the crowd leave? Isn't that something? If you've ever read this before, doesn't it make you wonder? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the scribes, the people, the teachers of the law, the ones that want to be the accusers, who have no right to throw a stone, right? Because they're not perfect either, are they? But they sure want to judge, don't they? They sure want to meter out that punishment, don't they? They don't know the first thing about forgiveness, do they? They don't know anything about God's love at all. And they showed themselves as that, didn't they? Suddenly, how important was it that this adulterous woman would be, you know, condemned? Not so important anymore when suddenly it's like, oh, the light is put on them. Hate when that happens, right? But the crowd stayed there. Don't you think in that crowd people were just amazed that this is the first time they've heard a religious leader, the rabbi, the teacher. Remember, Jesus had been at the temple teaching. He's also outside teaching. He's teaching them something that's greater and bigger than they've ever heard before. Something more magnificent, something more than rules and regulations and laws. He was teaching them about God's love, God's spirit of forgiveness and understanding. And the crowd was enthralled, don't you think? Don't you think that all those people in the crowd that were sinners, that had been maybe condemned and could very well be somebody that was brought before Jesus to be stoned, was thinking, wow, they didn't call me up there. But also, there's something about this Jesus that's different than the religious leaders. He just might be this Messiah that's come to save all humanity. And he's teaching something more important, more valuable, more wonderful than they've ever seen or heard before. The forgiveness of sins. In one example, he was showing grace, something she didn't. She got blessed for something she didn't deserve, and she didn't get what she deserved, which is mercy. So right there in front of them, grace and mercy came alive right before their very eyes. That's what love is, unconditional love, is grace. Giving something to someone, especially forgiveness, as a favor to them. They didn't deserve it, but you gave it to them anyway. And then the punishment that they should deserve, that you really want to get back at them for, right? And give them what for? Because they deserve to be punished. They did wrong, and they deserve it, but you take away the punishment. Grace and mercy, right there in front of those people, that crowd, right in front of us this morning. So it's showtime. Let's move on to the rest of the scriptures. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to her, "Where are your accusers? Where'd they all go? What happened?" Listen, in all of our lives, people might want to accuse us of all kinds of things, right? Even people we don't even know accuse us of things, correct? They want to tell us how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to be and who we're supposed to love and all those kinds of things. Whether or not we can be in church and God love us and things of that nature that they have absolutely no right to do. And they can accuse us of all kinds of things that we do or didn't do. And sometimes they'll be right about some of the things we have done, right? For those of us that every once in a while mess up. But where are our accusers? Nowhere to be found. You have to understand that. You have to understand that even if the accusers accuse you, no one has the right to stone you, and no one will. Because Jesus Christ, God himself, came to this earth to teach us that only God is the judge, a just judge. Knows everything about us, knows why we mess up when we do. He knows exactly what we're thinking before we even do it. He knows what we struggle with. He knows how many times we've asked him, please change me, please change me, please change me. And we don't change. And he goes, oh, that next. What does God do? God, love never ends. God's love never ends. And our opportunities to change never end. And God's love for us never changes. He gives us grace and mercy when? Always when? Every time. All the time. Every day. Every minute of it. And so Jesus asked that woman who almost was stoned to death. Did she deserve to be stoned to death? Well, the law said so. What does God say? I want you to show mercy. That's right. Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. You notice how she calls him Lord? She gets who he is. And he says to her, I love this scripture, verse 11, neither do I. He doesn't condemn us. Does he have a right to condemn us when we do wrong? Do we deserve to be punished? Are we punished? Why are we not punished? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he was the supreme sacrifice. He took our punishment. He took everything that we have ever done wrong on his back and took away all of our sins. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, while it's still going on, while we were sinners, God showed his love, great love for us. He demonstrated it by Jesus dying for us on the cross. Romans 5:8. You might want to learn that scripture. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's love, isn't it? What does this say to us? It says we've been forgiven for our sins. Does it give us a free ride to continue sinning? Of course not. Do you think this, in fact, this, at the end of John 11, it says, go and sin no more, right? That was Jesus' instruction to that woman. Clean up your act, if you will. Stop doing that. Live a different way. Now, wouldn't you think that if you were almost at the point of death being stoned and this man in front of you said, go, you're free, don't you think you'd want to change your life? Does that not motivate you to change? Doesn't it make you love God more? One of the ways that you can improve your relationships with others, because we're going to talk about showtime right now. One of the ways that you can show somebody love is by, even though they may do something wrong to you or hurt you or harm you or sin against you, if you want to put it that way, and you really, they deserve it too. They deserve for you to get back at them, don't they? Don't they deserve it? What does your mind say? Oh, yeah. See, we got a split mind here. But if you're going to show God's love, what must you do? Is the whole room saying that? First Peter 4 says this. 1 Peter 4:8, another short scripture, but you see they're all connected. Because, see, Paul was teaching the Romans, the early Christians, about love, and so was Peter. Did Peter know about love? Did Peter ever mess up ever? He's like a superstar at it, right? An overachiever. He really got it wrong. And what happened to Peter after Jesus died on the cross and resurrected? What happened to Peter? Was that the end of Peter? Could God not use Peter? Was Jesus done with Peter? Is Jesus done with you just because you do stupid things? Because you don't always love the way God wants you to love, because you're human, because you mess up and keep messing up, is God going to throw you away? No. Jesus reinstated Peter, made him the head of the church, because who could better explain forgiveness than a man who has been forgiven so much? Who besides a man that was coming against Christians and was overjoyed when they were killed like Saul and could be used by God in a great way? Showing people forgiveness and mercy and grace encapsulates everything that Jesus Christ and God is about, the love of God. That regardless of what a person deserves, we don't give them the punishment. We do what? We forgive them. We forgive them. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, verse 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. And maybe there's a typo in the bulletin, obviously. But the word of God is going to be brought out this morning. 1 Peter 4:8. We're going to say it together. Most importantly, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins, of which I have many. Oh, I'm sorry. You were supposed to repeat that part. It's time for us always, no matter where we are, to show love in our actions. We're going to do all things in love. However, we're going to be in relationship with one another, aren't we? And from time to time, somebody might do something that you don't always approve of and or you find sinful or whatever the case might be. Someone actually may hurt you or harm you, be nasty to you, snap at you, jump at you, yell at you. I don't know what they do to you. Or maybe things have happened in your past where lots and lots and lots of people have hurt you or abused you. All of us come from that place very often. However, what must we do? Yes, if you feel like writing down on the sand their sin, but the reason it's written on sand, why do you suppose Jesus wrote it on sand? Oh, it can be blown away. Nice dust storm. Or it's swept away, right? The temple clerks would come out there and the housekeeper people, or however you call them, the congregation, after all the sins are written down, they're all swept away. That's a perfect example. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that going to ever be erased? No, it's permanent. Is there anything you could do to ever stop that from happening once you are a believer in Christ? No, your name's written down. Yes. But your sins, what happened to them? Swept away. Swept away. So if that's true for us, that's what God did for us, what must we now do for others? Give grace. Give somebody something they don't deserve. They didn't ask for it. They didn't earn it. They're not good enough to get it, but you give it to them anyway. And don't give people what they do deserve. Instead, give them what God wants you to give them. Love, forgiveness. Wouldn't it have been beautiful if one of those Pharisees would have had a, just an aha moment and thought, you know what? I was judging this woman wrongly. I need to repent. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to stop judging. I'm just as guilty as she is. And I need to change. Wouldn't that have been an awesome end to that story in John? Well, guess who can make it that story? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I want you right now to think about something in your life for which you have guilt, for which you hope and pray that no one ever finds out about it, especially God, but that you just admit it to God within your heart. And you come before Him. And He says to you, does anybody here condemn you? And your answer is, and Jesus says to you, neither do I. Go and sin no more. That's all. And now that you've been forgiven, you can love much. Take this forgiveness that God is giving you this morning as a gift, a free gift. Give it to others. Show it to others. Regardless of what they've done to you. In your mind, forgive every person who's ever hurt you or harmed you for any reason. And also, ask God to forgive you, which of course He will. And as you release that now, receive the peace of God. Because each of us today have been given a gift, grace and mercy. Receive that gift this morning. Amen.